Welcome to Toffee Blue View, your source for all things Everton. I'm Jerry. I got Max here. We're rolling as a duo today. You know, Dave and Edward, so many social engagements, so little time, you know.
Such a life.
Yeah. So I have to say this. I haven't said this off air at all, but yesterday, Max, I turned 40.
Oh, I didn't know that. Happy birthday for yesterday.
Yeah, I laid low, and I didn't put it out there on anything. Yeah. I was just like,
yeah, fair enough. The big 4-0.
Yeah, congratulations. Thanks, man. It was one of the down low, I guess, selfish motives for not filming yesterday.
Yeah.
In addition to the fact that everybody else was busy, but yeah, but I was able to kind of go to the pub with my friend Kyle and my wife and watch one of the basketball games. So that was cool.
Great.
Yeah.
Any nice present?
One of my friends. I haven't seen him in a long time. He randomly, out of nowhere, sent me the home kit.
Ooh.
So,
nice.
You know, so it just, I didn't even, yeah, it was crazy. I didn't have that, like, this year's home shirt at all. And now I do, you know. So, and it's cool because all my other shirts have, like, players' names on the back.
Yeah.
And this one doesn't, so I can wear it to England.
Ooh.
So, so now I won't get chastised for you know, having, being like a fanboy and having, like, Rooney or bands on my back.
Yeah, I can get that. Yeah, I haven't bought a kit or a top in quite a long time. To be honest, I think the last one I got was for my little sister for Christmas, which was quite a cool experience. But I think, you know, particularly in England, it's just part of the culture. Once you hit that certain age, you drop getting the kit. Once you kind of go through the latter teenage years, and then I think as soon as you start getting older, you get a bit of a life going for yourself, and you go the game as a time out from it all. Then you lash your kit on. But it's been a long time since I've had a kit, but I was always an avid collector of them. Like, and I love them, and I can understand why people do love them.
See, I've never been a guy who collects like shirts like that. You know what I mean? Like jerseys, kits, anything. Like, I've been a Wake Forest like fan for a long time, since I can remember. I've never had one of their jerseys, football, basketball, anything. I never have. You know, Carolina Panthers, the only reason I have one of their jerseys is because my buddy gave me one when I was going to the game. He was like, here, you can wear my old one. And then he just let me keep it because the guy left the team. So, I've got like all this like secondhand stuff, you know. But it's weird. It was something different about a football club, about actually having one of those, because I guess it makes me feel more connected to the team. Because
the identity thing.
Because the only way I can connect is with you guys and through like social media.
Exactly.
And so if I have that, then I'm. I don't know. I feel more a part of it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, my mum and dad must have hated me growing up because I was one of them. I used to get the home kit, the full kit with a name on the back, the away full kit with a name on the back, and sometimes I'd even get the goalie kit with the name on the back. I mean, each year it'd be Howard. But my mum and dad must have absolutely hated me. The amount I must have took out of their wallet just on kits each season. Look, now I've kind of grown up a little bit and I can take a step back and probably think, Jesus Christ, did you need that many kits?
Well, see, that's the thing. Like, I'm more, now that I've got like a few, I'm kind of more focused on making sure like the kids get some, you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
I want to get my wife one at some point, because she's got a shirt, but she doesn't have an actual like kit, you know?
Yeah,
so I got to work on that at some point. I mean, I've got three. So it seems fair and not selfish to maybe do that.
Yeah.
But it's kind of interesting. It's almost like for a long time I was collecting DVDs and movies, and it was like the most important thing. And then, you know, I've just got all these movies now, and I rarely watch them, and I don't buy anymore.
No, I'm a big collector of Match programs, and I have been ever since I was younger. At the same, obviously, of course, I collected the kids each season. But I've got a friend of my granddad's who's also a big Everton fan. He used to be able to get me programs each week, and just since then, since I was a kid, you know. And he's got me programmed to go back to like the '60s as well. So I could just kind of go. I think the earliest one might be the '50s, '60s. And I've just got this collection in my old room, back in my mum's, of just programmed from '60s onwards, till up to. And I think they're still up to date. I think I haven't got a few this season, but all in all, you know, it's a pretty thick collection. And I don't know. I know what you mean about having, you know, that kind of the collector's mindset, really. It gives you something to keep on it, you know.
Yeah,
wanting, and it, you know, it's great.
Yeah, I didn't even think about programs, but I know that Edward collects those too, I think, or at least he always shows the one, like his newest one, whenever he's on. So
I mean,
I really do. It's like collecting ticket stubs, you know.
It's like it's either that or half and half scarves, isn't it? And I know which one I pick every time.
See, I'm American, and I know better than that. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I'm trying to envision a moment where I would do a half and half. And
you know what? I've got to be honest. My dad went to Lyon earlier in the season. He brought me back a half and half from Lyon, which, you know, it's understandable. I can understand for like momentous occasions, maybe when you're playing against a team that you might have a bit of an affiliation or an affection for, you know, then maybe like an international fixture, something like that. But again, I think I'd rather opt for programs rather than scarves.
I think if you're talking about a situation like if you travel to Lyon, you know, if you travel there, it's not only just saying, you know, I went there. It's also saying I've experienced that city, and you have the memory of actually, you know what I mean? So that's a whole different, that's true. Yeah. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, like when I went to Wolfsburg, I wanted to get a Wolfsburg shirt, but once I saw the price of them, I just thought, no, thank you.
Yeah.
Bought myself a pair of gloves from the Wolfsburg shop, and that's what I've got, really, to remember that shit.
I love the idea of that when you're in England and you play in Europe, and I mean, it's like a little mini vacation, and then you get to see some football at the same time. You know what I mean?
It's fantastic.
I can't even imagine that. Like, I never got it until y'all started talking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I said, y'all, deal with it. I'm from North Carolina. But it sounds great. I'm trying to imagine being able to like drive to Charleston, South Carolina and watch the idea of doing that and watching a team like Everton. You know, that would just be crazy. And then you're playing against some other high-profile team. That'd just be awesome. Oh, my God. We should move on. Otherwise, we're going to be talking about random stuff all day. So for the pod people out there, this is going to be a little bit of an abbreviated show. We got three segments for you. We're going to start off with the Stoke preview this weekend. We're gonna find out if we can do it on a cold, windy night in Stoke, right? I mean, so that's happening. In a pod exclusive, we'll just talk about some Everton news. Talk about you know, all the wild transfer speculation that's happening already. It's March and it's already happening. And then just some of the basic news that's just been slipping out lately. And finally, we'll end with a discussion about how Moshiri was considering Moyes to take over for Koeman. And we'll talk about who we would have preferred back then and who we would prefer now if we were given the option. So, Stoke preview. I'll rattle off stuff the way I always do. They currently sit 19th with 27 points. They're 10 spots away from us, and they're 10 points below. You know what I mean? So it's the table is so weird this year.
Yeah.
Recently, their form looks like this. They lost 2-0 to City, drew with Southampton 0-0, and drew with Leicester 1-1. All right. They've been playing a lot of defensive football, where they're really trying to keep clean sheets and trying to get points because they're in a relegation scrap. And I would say this game probably means more to them than it does to us, which is interesting. And it may have just changed my prediction. So,
of course.
so injuries. Apparently, Lambert said that Juve has an outside chance of being fit. I don't think it'll happen, but it's an outside chance. Vimmer has like a 75% chance to play. Berahino is going to be back, I think. I think that's what I recently saw. And Shaqiri might not be in. I think he hasn't trained since their game on Monday. So, so yeah, there's that.
It's good for us.
Yes, it is, especially since hasn't he scored on us?
Yeah, he scored I think it was Martinez's last season. He got an absolute wonder goal at the Gladys Street end.
I remember that. I remember just getting annoyed. Before, I was like, you know, Shaqiri's okay. And then when I saw him posing with his arms crossed, staring out into the crowd.
I've got a healthy amount of respect for him, to be honest. I still think the move that he made to Stoke is quite baffling, of course. You know, because at one point in his career, I think he had the tag that everywhere he's gone, he's won a season. He's won the title of whatever league he's been playing in each season. I think, of course, it was Baal and then it was Bayern. So, you know, he kind of gathered a healthy collection of league titles with the clubs he was at. And, of course, he tried to prove his point coming to England. Maybe, probably picked the wrong club. But same with Jesse Rodriguez, I feel, as well.
Well, I was under the impression, I mean, this was Martinez years when Shaqiri was thinking about coming, and I was under the impression that they offered more money. And it seemed definite that he was going to start. Now, I think he would have started for us too, but I was under the impression that they flat out offered more money, and that's why he went.
Yeah.
And it had very little to do with anything else. And this was before we were, you know, bathing in pools of cash with Moshiri.
Yeah, I think he definitely did. They'll offer him a bigger wedge than what we were offering at the time. But still, I remember reading, because I think that caused quite a few waves, particularly on Twitter, seeing, you know, that move, because he was always a player that was held in quite high esteem and that he'd push on and be a world beater. But I remember reading, you know, because of course it was something that I was automatically interested in, thinking why, what's his decision making behind that? And of course, they're never going to say cash, are they? But I genuinely do feel there was some, you know, internal motivation that he wanted to prove himself and become a one man team in that sense. But you know, it just hasn't been the case.
Yeah, I actually have respected him for staying so far. You know what I mean? Like, it seems like he could have had opportunities to kind of throw one of those player tantrums and just, you know, not show up for training and say, no, I want to leave. But, I mean, he stayed. And I'm wondering if it's so that he can just have a solid season and move up to one of the top programs.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not too in the know with Stoke's financial situation or anything like that, but they brought in quite a few players. I know they brought in Joe Allen. They brought in S.A. Rodriguez, like I mentioned before. They brought in Saido Berahino as well, who hasn't scored in 2 years. And we all know what's going to happen, don't we? We know the script on that one.
As soon as I saw Toffee Blue's account tweet about that, I was like, oh, no. Because everybody called the same thing, I guess, Burnley, too. You know, Burnley hadn't won for a while, and then here we come, you know.
Chris Wood comes back from injury as well and scores.
Yeah.
We're just one of those clubs. We're cursed. We're absolutely cursed.
Possible lineup that we could be facing. Butland's going to start, and we can only hope he decides to bat one in the net the way he did the other week. That'd be great. If on a cross he just decides, get in the goal, you know? That'd be nice. I don't think we can count on that, because he is a sound keeper for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, it's really the two competing for the number one spot for England at the World Cup, isn't it?
Yeah, it's what it seems like. I know Pope's been given a call-up
Pope,
who's had a good season. But I think, I don't know, I have a feeling that he's going to go with Butland, dependent on how the players play over the next month or two, you know, in friendlies and stuff. Butland, Bauer, Zuma, Martin Zindi, who I feel like we were connected with like 8 times.
Yeah.
Stafalidis, Jeff Cameron. Jeff Cameron, possibly.
USA.
Yeah.
USA.
Yes. Where are you playing at this summer, Jeff?
No World Cup.
Sadness. Yeah, I feel like I mention this every time we record.
Every time.
It just hurts, Max. It hurts. So the real question is, who's going to come in for Shaqiri? I'm actually not completely sure about that. I know they'll probably roll with Njai and Joe Allen in the center, Choupo-Moting. Maybe out wide, but maybe at the top, not sure. Mm-hmm. And it depends on what they want to do with, is it Hesse? Hesse? Yeah. It's funny, I'm like, is it Yesse? Or, you know, but I think it depends on which version of Spanish you're speaking. But, and also they could go with Crouch up top.
Exactly. And it's same old story when he comes off the bench, isn't it, really? Yeah. You know exactly what approach they're going to take. They're gonna rewind the clock, and they're gonna launch them long balls in. And again, you're not full of confidence with this Everton defense, are you? No matter who it is at the back. Of course, Jagielka coming back in against Brighton had we were a lot stronger with him alongside Keane. But you know, especially with how dull and grim this season's been, you're never fully sure of yourself if we're going to deal with any threat.
I'm curious if he's going to roll. I don't think he will, because I don't think he does this as often as other squads. But I'm curious as if he would roll with a Hesse and Crouch up top and go two up front, because we've been so weak against that.
Yeah,
two out of the past three games. Just the idea of them just lumping it up to them. Because we just didn't deal well with that. You know, last week we did okay with them having two up front. But, yeah, I don't know. I am curious.
Like you said earlier, this is a huge game for them, and we can't underestimate that by any means. I mean, I think Mark Hughes got sacked after that result against Coventry in the FA Cup. Lambert come in, and he did get one win against Huddersfield, if I'm not mistaken. But since then, I think it's just been stalemate after stalemate after stalemate. And it's been getting dull and drab for them. So there's always that air of caution towards these games. I've not really been confident in Everton this season at all, but I've always kind of had the assurance that I've never thought that at any point we look like we're going to go down, of course.
Yeah.
Those last few games under Koeman, we did look abysmal.
But, it was definitely the gloom, the melancholy. I think we all had that at that time.
I think you know, the expectations got absolutely shattered with the reality. And of course, when is deluded the wrong? Possibly, you know, I'll probably admit myself, I was a bit deluded at what was to happen this season. You know, and we've just been hit with mediocrity, but that's not to say that this won't be figured out with the introduction of the right manager, because, you know, there's clearly money to burn. And, you know, we have got some good individuals there. It's just a matter of getting the best out of the individuals in a functioning team and being able to defend as a unit, really.
You bring up those stalemates. They have been setting themselves up to not lose often. I look at this squad, though, that they could be rolling with, and I just don't see that as a necessarily highly defensive unit. I don't know why. No. I just don't. It just doesn't read that way to me. I don't know. It just doesn't. To me, it doesn't look like a typical Stoke squad.
No, of course. I think they've took a great identity shift. Particularly since Tony Pulis left, I feel like it's kind of been a gradual change since then.
Yeah.
And of course, with the introduction of players like we've mentioned, Hesse, Rodriguez, Shaqiri, you know, really players that shatter the rugby nature. That's what it was. Kind of, it was kind of, you know, they always had this rugby team nature about them, and you know, Ryan Shawcross would be the prime example of the Stoke player for you. You know, it just be like dogfights every game. But I think, you know, they've made a conscious effort to change that image, and as of this season, it's not gone well for them, but they've had some fairly good finishes in the Premier League. They haven't been relegated since they come up. But yeah, this season has been really challenging for them.
Yeah, just kind of that, they were kind of stuck between two potential styles, and then they're kind of left in this no man's land, which, to be fair, I think we were kind of there at the beginning of the season as well, where we had certain kinds of players with a manager who wanted to play a certain kind of system, but we really didn't even have all the players we needed to play that system.
Exactly. Yeah, I agree.
So it's we know the pain, Stoke.
We do.
So potential lineup. What are you thinking? Because my lineup, my potential lineup is that I think Allardyce is going to do. I'm actually okay if we start with the same one, which is odd.
Yeah, in my opinion, obviously, I think people would prefer if we went for the same team that we did against Brighton, with just a matter of swapping Gylfi Sigurdsson for Klaassen. And hear me out on this. Of course, I want to see Klaassen play, and I want to see Klaassen fulfill his potential. But obviously, not playing football, I mean, not playing football, not playing a Premier League match for so long.
Yeah,
I really feel like starting him and relying on him, I think that would be dropping him in at the deep end a bit too much. So I'd feel a lot more comfortable if we reverted back to that 4-3-3. Of course, Gay's fit again. Yeah, I go for the same back line. Gay's fit again. And I'd just obviously taken Sigurdsson out, who'd be on the left. I'd put Yannick Bolasie on there, particularly with how he played against Brighton. Mm-hmm. I see the little smirk. Have we pulled off something similar?
No, keep talking, Max. Do you think that's what Sam's going to do too?
Is it what I think Sam's going to do? Probably, because I feel like we know management haven't been as keen on Davy Klaassen as the fans have been.
Yeah.
So to be honest, it sounds quite weird in saying this. I really do think what I want to happen is quite in line with what I think Sam would do.
We'll
wait and see.
Yes, Max. I have written down verbatim the exact same players and the exact same lineup that I think Sam will do and that I actually want him to start. I totally agree with you, and if we keep doing this, this is just going to get so stale.
Because
it's like eventually our minds are converging and becoming having all the same opinions.
At one point, we're going to think it's scripted, aren't we? And we're just going to have to we're going to have to throw random under 23s players in there just to make them happy, differ the content up a little bit. But
why not? You know, let's get Feeney has made miraculous recovery from his knee surgeries, and he's going to play. I mean, literally all the same stuff. I normally would. I haven't been a Bolasie guy for a while, but you know what?
No,
he played well.
Me neither. But you know, and like I said, I made a note of that when we were talking about the Brighton game, that he seemed to grow into the game rather than start strongly than fizzle out. It was encouraging. It was really encouraging, which hasn't been the case with him since he's come back from injury. You know, he's been frustrating rather than encouraging, and that Brighton performance, I think, was a step in the right direction for him, and fingers crossed it's a step in the right direction for the entire team.
Plus, the thing about Bolasie, if we are encountering not great weather elements in Stoke, which I just always associate Stoke with wind and cold and possible rain, I think some people, I can't call him a finesse player, because although he's got these, you know, foot skills, he is a powerful guy when he's fit.
Yeah.
So him playing in a place like that, I think it's actually a decent start.
I agree completely with what you said there, because he can be heavy footed, can't he? You know, at times you do see him move the ball about quite well, but he's not 24/7 twinkle toes, is he? You know, he does prefer the knock it further in front of you, and then because you know usually he's had the pace to chase it down and win it. And there was hints of that coming back against Brighton. You know, as I said, it was encouraging. And if, you know, I think he does deserve to start.
Yeah, and I do think if you're missing a big player, a big important player like Sigurdsson, I don't think you can plug in a player who hasn't had a lot of experience
exactly.
like Klaassen immediately. I think you're totally right. Trying to depend on him immediately right now is a big ask. Having said that, I'd like to start incorporating him more, get him
Of
some
course.
time. Yeah, later on in the game, like
Yeah.
the 75-minute mark, bring him in for Davies. Bring him in
Yeah.
for Rooney. Who needs a break? Who needs a breather? Let's
Yeah.
bring him in.
But of course, something that we've brought up quite a lot this season is that, even though, I think we t as Evertonians, we tend to forget it, because Rooney, when he does play, I mean, we've criticised Rooney quite a bit this season, but that being said, when he's played well, he's very close to being the best player on the pitch with his vision and with the ground that he covers and his defensive the defensive burden that he carries. But who's to say that this is a game where we rest Rooney and put Klaassen in to fill that role. Of course, I don't think it's the role that we'd expect him to play because we kind of expect him to play the 1-2 touch, get the ball beyond the back line, find the spaces, feed Tosin. But again, it's how we choose to manage Klaassen now. If we are going to integrate him in the team, it's knowing his right role and making sure we get the best out of him.
And so yeah, I think that's the way to set up, to be honest. I do I think he can contribute this season? Yeah. And I totally hear all the people that are asking for him to play. I want him to play too. I just think let's gradually bring him in. Let's massage him into the squad, all right?
Yeah.
So yeah, what's your prediction? What are you thinking?
Keep the good form going. I'm gonna go for the 2-1 Everton win.
Before I started all of this, initially I was like, you know what? We're gonna lose 1-0.
Oh.
Then I started thinking about it,
Yeah,
and
I think I've just said that with complete arrogance to our away record there.
that was my problem, is because our away
Yeah.
record is so bad recently. But I look at their lineup, and I look at our lineup, and I look at the fact that Baines and Coleman are back. I trust them. And so I think we'll manage to squeeze one in, and I think our defense will be sound. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just
Yeah.
I think we'll win
I think.
1-0.
Yeah, it needs to be one of these games where we show the gulf in quality. I think it's after, particularly after that Brighton game where the although Pickford was tested a few times, there was a clear quality gap between us and Brighton. And again, I know it's away, but like Halliday's has said so many times, which is true. The away record has just been abysmal and nowhere near as good as what we need it to be if we want to reach that next level.
We're saying all that with the fact that we're away and Stoke is in a relegation battle and they're going to be scrapping and clawing.
Exactly.
If we're up for it, that would be great. But yeah, if in
We
the first
can't.
5 minutes, if they're completely out hustling us to every ball,
Yeah, we
yeah.
can't take it lightly by any means.
Right. All right. Well, let's I think we've got this one covered. So we're going to do a little bit of Everton news right now. Talk about all the different the trans. There's a lot of transfer speculation, but there's also some random little news tidbits. Not a lot of big news right now for Everton, but we figured we'd just kind of go over it a bit right now. So recently, there's only been one Everton player called up to the England senior squad, and that's Jordan Pickford, who fully deserves it. Does anybody else deserve it, Max?
Not really. I've got to be quite honest there. Of course, we mentioned last week when we were discussing Everton and their internationals that there's this kind of top six FA bias that always seems to be the case year in, year out when it comes to selecting England teams. But I think now none of the top six have an English goalkeeper, so of course they're going to have to look elsewhere. And like we mentioned when discussing Stoke, this game coming up on Saturday really does seem the two England's two top keepers coming head to head, which is quite bizarre considering they're still relatively quite young.
Yeah, they are.
But I really don't think anyone else does deserve it, to be honest. Michael Keane hasn't been strong enough or shown enough of his individual talent, which I'm sure will come over time.
Yeah, we talked about that, how he's pretty much played himself off the squad right now.
Yeah, Theo Walcott, again.
That was the argument I was going to make, is the possibility that he deserves a spot.
My mate, who's not an Everton fan, he kind of obviously had the outsider perspective, and he said the key thing as to why Walcott's been so good since Walcott's come in is the fact that we lacked so much pace before he came in, and with just bringing him in, it's kind of been this wash of pace, which again has probably made them look a lot better than he actually has been. But I've just got to go back to it, really. We haven't had a strong enough season. We haven't really caught the eye, or any individual player hasn't caught the eye enough, I'd say.
I think if I were Southgate, I would be giving some younger kids a chance, and then you take a look at what you've got come May, and you say, because Walcott can slot in anytime, he's that kind of professional, and you know what you've got in him.
Yeah.
Explore some of your unknowns and see, which I think is probably what he's doing. So
yeah, I mean, we saw that when they had friendlies against Germany. You know, there was the likes of Jordan Pickford making his first start. Yeah. They had Ruben Loftus-Cheek, who had an incredible game. And I think that obviously did get a lot of people talking about the national team and the approach that we do take to this tournament, because over the past, it's kind of been the same approach. Early 2000s, like, I think every Englishman talks about it, really, how we didn't manage to win a major trophy with the squad that we did have early 2000s is really quite incredible. But you can't linger on that. You can't continue to harp back to past days, because we've seen in full force how it affects you going forward. So I think, you know, we really do need to have a fresh outlook and a fresh plan going into this World Cup.
Next, the Derby fixture has been changed to an early kickoff.
Yeah.
12:30 p.m. your time. Mm. Klopp's not happy, and I got to be honest, couldn't care less.
I feel like that's a really common theme since he's come to England. I still don't dislike Klopp. I was a big fan of him when he was at Borussia Dortmund, and I've still probably got a healthy amount of respect for him now. But I really do feel like complaint after complaint after complaint has been made since he's come to England. And yeah, the English game is flawed. It has got its problems, but you're not the first, and by no means will you be the last to get unfair treatment.
I mean, don't they have another match against, you know, their second leg the next week?
Yeah, but I saw that, and because we play both Liverpool and Manchester City kind of within the proximity of when they play each other. Mm-hmm. So from Everton's perspective, it's good for us. I know a lot of fans won't like the fact that the time's been changed for the derby, because, you know, of course, the derby is one of those games that transcends form and the current season. The derby is the derby. But in terms of who we're coming up against, there's a higher probability probability than usual that we're going to get a win, because they're going to have to field weakened teams, both Liverpool and Manchester City.
Yeah. So, I mean, does it really, I mean, serious question for you. Does it matter earlier kickoff? Does that change anything for people in town?
Not for me personally, because I think I accept the fact that, you know, I think I've just become accustomed to it. Of course, I've kind of grown up in this era where times of games get changed to accommodate other fixtures and TV times. So, of course, I'm not as against or angry about that as a lot of other fans that you see on Twitter are. Mm-hmm. But I can understand why it affects a lot of other people, because, of course, the derby is this big occasion, you know.
Yeah.
You lead up to it, you know, you have the day, you know, people start drinking in the morning, you know. it's one of those things. It's a big social event in the city. But to me, no, it doesn't make that much of a difference.
Gotcha. So, mentioned earlier that Sam has been really focusing on sports psychology for the team. One of the specific things he wanted to focus on is the away form, but I would hope it's also kind of this. We've talked about it. People always say winning mentality, la la la. It doesn't. I don't really know precisely what that means. If you want to get really technical, I guess it's going into a game knowing you're going to win, rather than going into a game thinking, you know, let's compete. You know what I mean? I guess that's the difference, is not having any kind of complex going in.
Yeah, but I think it's approaching the game knowing your probabilities of winning. And I think for Everton this season, their own estimations of themselves, I think the self-confidence took a heavy beating, particularly during the start of the season. You know, we had a succession of heavy losses. I mean, we lost big against Tottenham, we lost big against Man United, we lost against Chelsea away, against the sides that we... Because I when talking about the mentality of Everton, I always refer back to that first season under Martinez. I really did think we could go anywhere and we could beat anyone.
Agreed.
But yeah, of course, that's changed a lot. And I tweeted earlier that if Sam is gonna leave a legacy at the football club, which, you know, we can be quite dismissive of Everton fans, and of course, you know, he hasn't played the style of football that we want. But if the legacy that he leaves, that he lifts this mentality problem that we've got, if we start going into games thinking, you know, there are going to be moments where we can exploit these, and we must take full advantage of that, and we must score, and we must have periods in the game where we dominate. If we can introduce that mentality, then I'll be grateful for it.
Yeah, I know when I played for university, we had trouble scoring at the beginning of my first season. Just a lot of chances right in front of the goal, and everybody was just missing. Coach brought in a psychiatrist or psychologist, and... yeah, it was something I was kind of skeptical of at first, but I felt pretty, I don't know, when we were finished, it was just, I don't know, it seemed like a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, it felt like I was giving attention to a different part of the game. So anyway, I think some good could come of this. So the Marcel Brands rumors are back, more exploratory talks, whatever that means. We can't prove any of this. I think we all kind of think, hey, this could be a good thing, so let's hope it, you know.
Yeah, I feel like we're looking forward to next season before we're paying a lot more attention to things that happen off the field than we are paying on the field, due to how poor we've been on the pitch, I think. And again, it adds to the weight of the expectation going into this season coming.
Yeah, I think that's maybe the explanation for why some of these stories are hitting right now. people seem to be pretty optimistic about the possibility of Brown's coming, just based on his track record. So I'll be curious if that happens. Yeah, I think it could be a good sign. Also, Elstone probably on his way out. So that's a thing. I've seen more support than anything for this possibly happening.
Yeah, but I think this is the old guard being shifted, and Mashiri's the board that Mashiri wants slowly being phased in. And of course, you know, I know I've seen a lot of people jump on Mashiri's back, given how poor we've been this season, and criticise Mashiri, but come on, I think we need to count our blessings here. The money that he's given to the club, and then the situation that he's put us in, let him call the shots and let him bring in the team that he wants.
Next, recently, I know people have said Silva's on our short list. Stories came out that he was probably going to be named the next manager of Benfica. And then his agent came out and said, this is not true. So everybody, I know there were some people saying, darn, there's another name off our list. And then there was another group of people saying, you know, good, let's not consider him. So, apparently he is still, I think he does want a job in England. I think that's what he wants.
Obviously, you know, when he did leave, his head was clearly turned by Everton at the time.
Yeah.
And... you know, because it's ultimately what Wofford kind of, you know, almost give him a telling off for, and ultimately kind of what led to the demise of his career at Watford. But again, I've got my reasons as to why I wouldn't be too concerned if he did come in.
Yeah.
So
I'm not sweating it right now. I know if there are better options, I do feel like we'll pursue them and we'll get it. You know what I mean? If we don't get a better option, it's because those people do not want to come in. And that's the way and that's a reality that we're dealing with right now.
It is.
So, I was thinking about it though. I thought for a second earlier, I was like, you know, you got some of the Watford admins saying that we ruined their season. But you know, to be fair, had they just sold Silva to us, you know, I mean, maybe they ruined ours too. Maybe let's blame Watford is what I'm saying. It goes both ways, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you've made a good point there. It certainly could have worked out better for them if they did let him go when we approached them, you know, but it hasn't worked out for either of us, to be honest.
Yeah, and just to be clear for people listening, I'm not actually blaming Watford. I'm joking. So, all right, so let's move on to some transfer speculation. I'm just going to name a bunch of these names. We don't really have to comment on each one. I'm just saying, people are it's in the news. Jack Wilshere. Okay, we know he's out of contract soon. Who knows what he's going to do? You know, Wenger doesn't even know. So, Phil Jones. I know. Since few people are listening, you probably heard the sharp inhalation of breath, and that was Max. Making a face. He's not the biggest Phil Jones fan. Do I think if he were to come in, he could possibly play well for us? Yeah, he could. I do think there's about 11 other guys I would consider before him.
Yeah.
So, but ever since Walcott, I'm not completely dismissing people who are, you know, from other teams, the top six castoffs, you know. So, Jamie Vardy, again. Okay.
Not going away.
You know, not going away. Do we need him? I mean, he's a good player. I just don't know what we do with him. You know? Okay. Leo Lacroix is on loan at Basel. He played really well against City the other day. But he's a Saint-Étienne player. On loan at Basel. He's a center back. He's good. Low price tag for the most part. Seems like a good idea, to be honest.
Yeah.
And it fits our recent MO of kind of looking to France for center backs.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
Couple players from Porto. Ivan Marcano. He's a center back. He's a veteran, kind of an older guy. And Diego Leite, who's a 19-year-old. Scored the other day. I have no idea. I've never seen this person play.
No, I've not watched Porto this season, really.
Yeah, but this one guy, the Diego Leite, I think plays with their youth setup. I don't even know that he plays. I don't think he even plays with their first team. So,
all right.
Next, Petrus Boumal from FC Ural. It's a defensive mid. The story that I saw is that if Gay leaves, which is they were expecting Gay to leave, we would be bringing this guy in or considering him. Okay, you know, I don't know the guy, but would it surprise me for us going for some player who's a defensive mid, you know, at a random place that I've never seen? Walsh would do that. I could see that. Mm-hmm. You know. Lastly, Gary Rodriguez from Galatasaray. The rumor is we're sending some people to the derby. I think they're playing Fenerbahce, and we're sending people to watch him. It would cost about $30 million to get him, apparently. So they're expecting Cenk Tosun money. Flashy, quick player. So, and I think that's it. I don't have any more. That's a lot of transfer. It's wild transfer speculation. So yeah. Maybe none of it is true.
Hey,
So some news came out, Max, that supposedly, according to The Echo, Moshiri, during the grand manager search when Koeman left, was seriously considering David Moyes. And the reasoning for not making that happen, because he was available, was that he didn't think the fans would take to it. So instead, they appointed Big Sam. So, so put yourself back in October, November, okay? If you have an option, one or the other, Moyes or Big Sam, who would you have gone with?
Oh, Moyes. And slate me all you want for that, but I do feel like just before he left Everton for Manchester United, Everton were playing some really good football. I really remember his last game at Goodison against West Ham, where we played some absolutely gorgeous football, and we sent him off with a win. But I remember Kevin Morales jumped into the Gladys Street. It was just something from the game that made me remember it. And we did play in that last season in general some really good football. I think first and foremost, what that says to me is how unprepared Everton were in the search for a new manager. But it's nice to see that we've got an owner who takes into account the fans, because that is not the case at a lot of other clubs around the world and in the Premier League. So, again, it's great to see that Moshiri kind of got that empathetic nature about him to think about the fans and what the fans would want. Peculiar how he ended up with Sam Allardyce, though.
Yeah.
If he's thinking, you know, what do the fans want? Of course, I can understand that we really did have a strong dislike for David Moyes for the way he left.
Yeah.
But for the style of football and Sam Allardyce in general, of course, quite a controversial figure and not always the most liked.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it just raises more questions for me more than anything.
What about now? Who would you rather have now? Same
now,
answer.
I think obviously the big calamity that it is at the moment at West Ham isn't just down to David Moyes, of course. We know it's right. Down to their ownership and the questionable decisions that their board have made. But now, I feel like once Baines and Coleman come back, I would have preferred to have David Moyes there, because then again, there's a template of a system that he could kind of employ. But I think all my hopes, again, like I said earlier, are pinned on next season now.
Yeah, I think that's kind of... I think all the people we're talking to are kind of right there with you. It's a tough question, to be honest with you. And I'm wondering, I'm assuming he was considering Moyes after Watford said no to us approaching Silva. Because I feel like I get the vibe that Moshiri's just like, Silva's our guy. We want him.
Yeah. You
know? And then that broke down.
Well, of course, we know how long David Moyes was at Everton. And I recently saw an article that said, you know, should he be compared to the Everton greats, such as Howard Kendall, Harry Kattrick. But people kind of got a bit up in arms in that. Of course, and that was my first reaction. But thinking about it, he provided stability to the club in a period where 9 times out of 10, we'd go down and we'd end up being one of these clubs that get relegated and get stuck and aren't don't quite manage to make it back into the Premier League. Mm-hmm. He brought about a hell of a lot of stability and implemented a good style of football just before he left. But I did feel, I know he went on to Manchester United, which is, of course, a bigger club, but when Moyes left, it really felt like there was an opportunity to push on to that next level, because I certainly felt like we hit the glass ceiling with Moyes. We couldn't get any higher, I feel. So, again, he had his limitations about him, David Moyes.
Yeah. See, I'm torn on this question, and I really don't know. And I realize, technically, it doesn't really matter. You know what I mean? Because it's not like Moyes is coming back anytime soon. And it's not like we're really expecting Big Sam to last too much longer. So technically, this is really a hypothetical, discussion. But if I were looking at their two recent records, immediately I say, well, Sam's is better. His if you pair their CVs, put them side by side, Sam's is technically stronger, but you got that connection, the connection from voice, which I don't know if you can replace, because the one thing that everybody is so agitated at Big Sam about is the fact that he doesn't seem to get the fans. He doesn't get the supporters. He's almost kind of taunted them at times, saying, oh, those 15 guys out there that disagree with what I'm doing. 15 million? No, 15. It's more than 15, Sam. I'm sorry. But yeah, so he's kind of messed with us,
And I genuinely do feel like that's been mentioned to him at the club, because if you listen to his last few press conferences,
I was going to
that's been
say
something
that.
he's always, and it's, he's brought it up off his own back as well. He's not really been, he's never been instigated to talk about it. He hasn't been obligated to talk about it. It's something that he's brought up himself, which again, you don't know whether that's his own conscious decision to try and right the wrongs, or someone at the club's given him a nudge and said, listen, you need to stop doing what you're doing here, because it's really not getting the right reaction from the fans.
I think someone has given him advice. I don't know who, and I don't know if it was somebody at the club or just a peer or someone has advised him to do that, because he's worked it in. He has definitely worked it in to press conferences, talking about we really got to make sure we perform for the away fans. He said that at his recent presser, and I was like, wow, it almost sounds like Sam's kissing some ass now. Since
No,
when?
I know.
At least, and really, I don't. I shouldn't use the phrase "kiss ass" because he's really just giving them respect. Is really what it is. So, straight up brown nosing would be a little different, But I don't know, man. I definitely think somebody mentioned something.
It really wouldn't surprise me.
So, I'm genuinely torn between the Moyes and Big Sam question, though. I really am. And I'm really scared that I would say Big Sam if I had to choose right now. You know what I mean? And just the practicality of it bugs me. Because I'm an emotional guy. I like emotional connection, and I feel like Moyes has that. He broke that a little bit with a lot of people,
Definitely.
being a little
Definitely
underhanded,
different.
But I do think if he came back, I mean, there are some people who wouldn't forgive him. They just wouldn't.
No, definitely not.
Just,
Definitely not. Everton fans are those type of fans.
and some people, would not forgive Arteta if he showed up. I totally see that. So, yeah, it's, don't treat us like shit. And then maybe if you want to come back, we'll talk. How about that?
God, it sounds like a breakup.
No, that's exact. I was about to go there. I
Exactly.
was gonna be
Yeah,
like, just be
exactly.
honest with the breakup. You know what I mean? Don't cheat. Because if you cheat, then it's never gonna work. But if you're honest, straightforward, maybe getting back together, maybe reconciliation can happen. Oh man! All right. Well, regardless of all this stuff, I tell you what, Moyes has gotten chances though, hasn't
Yeah,
he?
I say it whenever I talk about Moyes. I bet he wakes up every day wishing he hasn't left Everton.
I mean, I am genuinely shocked that he got on with West Ham. I was very shocked after what went down at Sunderland. But I don't think that was all his fault. I think if, I mean, it seemed like he got there immediately and was just appalled.
Yeah, Sunderland really do seem to be a mess of a club at the minute. And for someone who bases their kind of aura and their personality based from an ordered, structured hierarchy and club. Again, it's just, it wasn't a good mix at all.
I mean, he already was kind of like, look, it'll be a miracle if I save him. Just saying. So, yeah. Oh, those guys. What would be crazy if, you give a young English manager a chance? What if one of those got some kind of chance? Doesn't happen. Nope. Gotta recycle. Hughes, Pulis, Big Sam, Moyes. No other managers exist. That's the way it is.
I know.
So I guess that's it for our Moyes versus Sam cage match segment. If you're liking our videos, please subscribe. And you could be number 550. Yeah. So thanks for all that. Anyway, like, comment, all that hot stuff. Also, for the podcasters, that's the end of the big show. Please subscribe to the Toffee Blues podcast. Rate it if you can. And check out Max's stuff on the Toffee Blues website. He's got lots of analysis on there. He's all over that site, folks. Also, check out the Toffee Blues on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. No more plugging. That is it. That's all for the show. Max, thanks so much. If you weren't here, I'd be babbling into a microphone by myself.
As always, it's a pleasure.
All right, Max. Talk to you soon, man. And, yeah. Easy. Bye.